Want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good, something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. 'Tis the season for giving back, and giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Nothing tastes as good as a cup of Bahamian tea. Ah.
The views and opinion expressed in this podcast are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entity or organizations.
You are listening to the podcast Tea and Talk, presented to inform, educate, inspire, and encourage meaningful conversations on Bahamian art and culture. My name is Robert Bain, dancer, teacher, choreographer, and someone who believes in the preservation of all things Bahamian. I am sitting down with persons of like mind to discuss the Bahamian perspective on the arts and the Bahamian way. Now, let's welcome our guest.
Welcome to Tea and Talk. This is Robert Bain coming to you with another podcast. You know, all of these podcasts are very, very special. And, you know, I love the guests that come on. We always have a lot to say. You know, this podcast was established as a platform for the artists to give them a voice. And hopefully at the end of the podcast, you'll be a little smarter by listening. We talk about everything. I'd like to thank Jason Ferguson. The music you hear in the introduction is by Jason Ferguson. Thank you, Jason. And the music you hear playing underneath us is music by our legendary Bahamian artist, Fred Ferguson. Today we have a very, very, very special guest in the studio. Of course, this podcast is coming in from Nassau, Bahamas, one of the islands of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. We boast of 700 islands, and 30 of them are inhabited by beautiful people. Beautiful people, yeah. We have a beautiful country, and the country is just as beautiful as the people. So, without ado, this podcast is really special. We've been trying to arrange this for a very, very long time. And on this podcast today, I have somebody that I've known for 33 years in the name of Cleo Parker Robinson. And Cleo Parker Robinson is the founder and artistic director of the Cleo Parker Robinson Dance Ensemble in Denver, Colorado. Let me give you a little backstory about Cleo. Cleo came to the Bahamas in 1992 when the Bahamas government and the American Embassy got together and they decided they'd help us to establish a national dance company. Well, we're now in our 33rd year. And what a special thing than to have her come and spend that anniversary with us. This is very special. We had a very special weekend. And I'm so happy that she was here in Nassau, her along with her sister Leslie Sue, celebrating with us. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. And we're just going to talk. Cleo, welcome to Tea and Talk.
Robert, it's fantastic to be here. I can't believe it's been 33 years.
33 years, my dear.
Isn't that fantastic?
Awesome, eh?
What a blessing.
Let's tell the audience what, something about you.
A little bit about us. You know, we're in the U.S. We're at in Denver, Colorado, in the middle of the country, in the Rocky Mountain region. And I was so happy that you have been able to visit our community and our studio and theater when we entered. I think we really produced the International Association of Blacks in Dance. and that was in the 90s. Okay. And you were able to bring your company there, and it was really fantastic. But having my company, now I started in 1970, so now we are 55 years, and it really is hard to believe where all of this time has gone, and yet it does take time. It takes a lot of patience and endurance and dedication and devotion. And what I see here in the Bahamas, what you have done is incredible. To keep this vision and this beautiful dream alive from the time we began it 33 years ago.
33 years ago. That's amazing.
I can't believe it.
Yeah. But 33 years ago, yeah, I remember, yeah, it was an awesome time. You were able to pull together all of the teachers here in Nassau. And we met at the Dundas Center for the Performing Arts. Mm-hmm. And we had an audition there. We had kids from everywhere.
Oh, it was wonderful.
It was wonderful.
It really was amazing.
Yeah.
As I think about, and I'm really trying to recall some of the details because we did so much in a very short amount of time.
Yeah, absolutely.
We had a big vision mm-hmm. to start, of course, the National Dance Company of the Bahamas.
Yes, absolutely.
And to look at all of the dancers, not only the professional dancers, but the schools.
Yeah.
So I think bringing the teachers together was really special. The diversity of the teachers, and they were from different parts of the Bahamas, but also outside of the Bahamas. Some were living here. But it was really amazing to have that connection right away with you. Because yeah. you had been with Dance Theater of Harlem.
Yes.
That was my inspiration to start my company in Denver. And it has, this connection, this synchronicity has never stopped. Yeah. It's been continued throughout this 33 years.
Isn't that
It's really remarkable.
Yes, I remember. Since then, you know, we've lost a couple of the teachers, the name of Valerie Smith and
yes.
Ednell Wright and, of course, Ms. Bass, Shirley Old Bass. And it was so exciting this weekend that we had an opportunity to meet some of those persons, hey, in the name of Lawrence Carroll and Paula Knowles and Victoria McIntosh. And then you got to meet a new generation of teachers.
Yes. I felt like I saw three generations this year, this three generations. And I'm still here. I have one more day. And I'm still taking in the magnitude of how pretty extraordinary it is to be able to plant a seed and see how it's grown and manifested, and then see these young people coming from all of that experience, and then the next generation, which are the babies taking classes.
Yes, absolutely.
Which I wasn't able to see the babies in class, but I was able to see their photographs and their images, and also seeing the curriculum of the school. Mm-hmm. I see all of the classes you teach.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really phenomenal. And then here being in the school, I think is really, really wonderful because I was able to teach two master classes.
Absolutely.
With some of those teachers coming back, Vicky and Paula, and of course,
Lawrence,
I hadn't seen Lawrence for 33 years. So that was really special.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a bit about the weekend.
Yeah.
We started the weekend with the People's Performance.
Yes.
Of course, that particular performance was special because we wanted to present something in honor of the Bahamian people.
Mm-hmm.
When the company was first established, we mm-hmm. said, we're establishing this company as a lasting tribute to Bahamian people.
Yes.
We wanted to make sure that Bahamians, no matter where you came from, mm-hmm. no matter where you place you are on the economic mm-hmm. Ladder, that you had an opportunity to
yes.
come and see a performance, to yes. see your representatives.
Yeah.
You give me your...
Oh, gosh, I was able to... Well, the night I came in with my sister, and we came right to the dress rehearsal.
Yeah.
And what was wild is they were doing the blocking, and you were just finishing all of the work and the diversity of the work, but the dedication and the beauty of the dancers, the commitment.
Yeah.
And I kept asking them how old they were. And they would tell me how old, but my brain never computed that they were that.
Want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good, something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. 'Tis the season for giving back, and giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Yeah. And there was a range of ages and experiences, but they were all so absolutely magical. And then the first night, they were even more magical. So the third night, the third performance, they were just off the, they were way out there. I was like, wow.
Yes.
And then to have the prime minister, his wife.
Yes, the spouse.
There,
yes,
with me, sitting next to me, and knowing she loved it just as much as I did, was such a thrill. We loved to see the range of music and work and choreography. And then I said, Robert Bain is a choreographer. Now, I knew that when I met you at the 33 years ago.
Yes.
But to see the range and to see how you push them and yet love them.
Yes.
It's really, that's a wonderful combination. Because most of the time we're pushing or we're loving. But when you do it together, they love to be challenged. And they really worked. They really worked.
They
and
sure
then
did.
I got to see them in class.
Yes.
So that doesn't usually get to happen.
Yeah.
And I felt really, really privileged to be able to do that. And I'm grateful to you, absolutely.
Well, I am honored that you're here spending this time with us. And it has been a very, very special weekend for me and to be hanging out with you. Like I said, I told you earlier, I think and I'm saying to you earlier that I always talk about you to the dancers.
Because
I always talk about the history of the National Dance Company.
Yes.
I have to make sure that they understand and that it continues, that nobody get any watered-down version of how it all happened, you know? And so we talk about it, but the thing about it is that when you came into that rehearsal and they saw you for real, it was like, okay, is that really? She's here.
Oh,
so
yeah,
they are. So yeah, they're yeah. Some of their faces just yeah, got you know because yeah. they didn't know how to act a response. So they became very quiet and they just stared at you the whole time.
You know, you're staring at each other.
Yeah, you know, who's this woman? Is this really her?
Yes.
You know, but not until you shook their hands and you that they realized that they were talking to the Cleopatra Robinson, you know.
Thank you.
Also this weekend it gave me an opportunity to bond with you and your sister.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. I always felt that we had that connection.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? And I want to thank you too for encouraging me to continue because there were many times I just wanted to just put it up and I've kept notes from you.
Yeah.
You know that's I wish I would have brought it out with me, but you know to try and keep me motivated so I would continue.
Absolutely.
And I want the public to know that it wasn't easy this far, you know and. But I always say that this process is larger than I am. It's not about me. I'm only one person. And but when we leave this space, that must remain and it must transcend through generation, the next generation, and the next generation. So we also have plans. Let's talk about some of those plans.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, let's talk about some of those plans.
Oh, gosh, yes. Well, you know, I think as I reflect on when I first came, I think we always had a large plan that it wasn't going to be that we just started something. We were going to have it evolve.
Yeah.
And I think the evolution was many things, that we would have a chance to have you come to Denver, bring your extraordinary history, bring the Bahamian experience, bring some of your dancers, train them with our dancers and our youth, as well as our professional companies. and then put together a work, a piece, either that one you've done or one that you felt like you wanted to create, something new, and then perform it for our community.
Right.
And let our community see the magic and the beauty of what you're bringing, because I want them to know more about the Bahamian culture. It's always fed me.
Yes.
And as we talked about with my sister, how my father would always say he was from Jamaica, he was from the Caribbean, you know. Mm-hmm. And then when I came here 33 years ago, I just felt at home. I felt the music and the dance and the people and the food and just the openness and the rhythm of the country, you know. And it was really, even though I was from Denver, I was born in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah.
And so people are like, but you weren't born in the Bahamas. But I always felt, you know, with Daddy connecting to Harry Belafonte and to Sidney Poitier as one of the first black actors there, and he loved dance and music, and that's how we grew up with my mother and father, with that kind of richness
yeah.
of the arts and of the Caribbean. I mean, we would do all kinds of music and dance, and that would keep our family together.
Yeah.
You know, it was a way, we didn't have a lot of money, but we had a lot of love. We had a lot of richness of the culture. And so I think the vision of having us then come and perform here in the Bahamas with my company, with your dancers, and have this explosion of creativity on stage and excellence, because I think that's what we all know that Mr. Mitchell instilled in all of us, mm-hmm. is a sense of excellence.
Excellent.
And hard work, a hard work ethic, but one that comes with a tremendous amount of passion,
yeah.
and unity. And I think when you see how smart they are, that they can pick up and come together quickly with other dancers that would be coming. Now, my dancers come from everywhere. They come from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they move to Denver. Most of them don't have coats. They don't know about the snow.
Right.
They don't know about our mountains and altitude and all of that. Mm-hmm. I think when you got there, you were able to go to the mountains and see how extraordinary that is.
Oh, beautiful.
You know.
But my ears rang all the way up.
The ears were ringing, right. Yeah. And then, like, we love the ocean. I love the ocean. And so I was in it yesterday, and I went, I respect the ocean. It knocks you right out, you know.
Yes,
so,
yes, yes.
So it really, and it's so glorious. It's so beautiful. But just being in those two worlds, they're very different physically. I mean, like you said, the dancers have to have oxygen most of the time.
Yes, yes.
Because it's harder to breathe in an altitude that's a mile high.
Yes.
But that's where we train the Olympic trainers in the world,
mm-hmm.
right there in Colorado, because it's so high. So if they can perform there, they can perform at sea level anywhere, you know. So anyway, I think we've had some of the same teachers and mentors, and that's what I felt last night when I taught class.
Yeah, that was amazing. Tell me a bit about your relationship with Catherine Dunham.
Well, Miss Dunham. Oh gosh, I had to have a little bit of water. I swear. I knew about her growing up, mm-hmm. with my mother and father. I mean,
yeah.
you know, watching television. She was the first unbelievable black woman we ever saw on television, with dancers
beautiful.
Who just were so beautiful and trained. And there was a mystique about her. And there was a production. I mean, it was a huge production with lights and sound and costumes. And it was quite extravagant. And my father always, no matter what it was like, he would turn the television up for the World Series and for Catherine Dunham. and we
yeah.
knew how important it was,
yeah.
Because my mother and father would say, okay, all of us sit down, we have to watch this, we want to see this. So I knew about her and about Harry Belafonte. We would see, I guess that.
Want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good, something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. 'Tis the season for giving back, and giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Ed Sullivan Show. Right. I mean, yes. Shows like that, and where we would see choreography by Donald McHale and some of these great artists you would hear about, and you would, I mean, it's sort of like, I'm going to hear about her, and then one day not only meet her, not only train in her technique, but spend time with her in East St. Louis, where she really created her own school and museum, and then I would bring her around the country, and then I would be doing her own work.
Yes.
And I think we're the only company in the world that really performs Catherine Dunham's work on stage.
Yeah, that's
many teachers teach the technique, but we are the artists that she gave permission to perform it.
I remember my experience with Ms. Dunham in Denver
as well. Denver.
Yeah, and I think at that time she was, some lady was there from some establishment to notate one of her ballets, Charros.
Oh, yeah.
And there was Julie Belafonte and...
Mm-hmm. And Tommy Gomez.
And Tommy Gomez.
Oh, gosh, both members of her company 50 years before.
Right.
And they came out of retirement to be there to document it with the National Lava Notation Bureau in New York.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So that was really exciting. She had never had her work notated. And so now... We were, after the notation, lava notation, we were able to have the work set on us. Mm-hmm. And then we performed it at, in many places, we performed it first at the Joyce Theater in New York.
Right, yes.
And then at BAM and some of the other, in JPAC and so on, the Kennedy Center. And then, because it was lava notated, we could set it on dancers, which I did in France.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we went on and we set that work. And she choreographed. The second work was Barrel House Blues, which is a piece that she used to dance mm-hmm. with Vinoy Akins, her partner. And Vinoy came in the second time, but Tommy Gomez was out of Chicago.
Okay.
And he was unbelievable. And I don't know if he came in this time. He had his leg amputated the second time.
Okay.
Yeah, second time. And he went right to the bar and did the entire bar on one leg. And it was unbelievable.
That's amazing.
Can you believe it? I mean, that's how dedicated he was to me. He called her Miss D.
Yeah, I remember when we saw him, he was limping a bit.
Ah, then he had it amputated.
Yeah, he was limping
back.
Yeah. But what is the difference now? We're now living in 2025. Mm. How do you compare the dancers today? Compared to the dances, let's say, 33 years ago?
I don't know. I think they're smarter. I think they're smarter in some ways, mm-hmm. but they're not as educated. Do you see what I'm saying?
I'm following you.
You see, they're fast. Mm-hmm. They're very fast. They learn fast. Mm-hmm. But what I told them last night is that it's like I went to a Catholic school. I think you did some.
I went to a Catholic school. I went to Catholic as well.
In Dallas, Texas. And what I know is we learned to recite things by rote, mm-hmm. but it didn't mean that we knew it.
There you go. I remember you saying
that. Yeah. So you may say it, but you don't know it. And that's the difference. I think this group of dancers and young people, it's such a fast pace that they don't even care that they don't know it. They just do it.
Right. Yeah.
And we say, no, stop so you know it.
Yeah.
And so you can pass it on.
Yes.
And I don't think that they felt that was necessary. And I think we've had to, and I think this is wonderful why you gave me an opportunity to be with them. Because I didn't want, they can do quick combinations and fast jetés and développés and whatever. I mean, and they can do hip hop in between an African phrase. And we've merged quite a few techniques together. Right. However, when you say, do you know Duke Ellington? Mm-hmm. And they said, no. I said, well, you danced to him the other night.
Right. I heard, yes.
Yeah. I said, but that's who that was the composer. Mm-hmm. And I said, I knew him when I was, you know, growing up. And, of course, I wanted to tell them more. But what I loved about what I felt is that they did not look bored. They looked like they were hungry.
Right.
And we have not taught them to be hungry because we were hungry. I think that's the difference.
Right.
We were hungry because there was no one that, I mean, they weren't going to give us something. We had to create it, create the opportunities for ourselves and for others. I think that's always been created for them so they don't have to be hungry.
So, do you think that's a result of social media?
I think it certainly is. I think technology is certainly one factor, but I think that families are not shaped like villages like they were. Okay. When you talk about your grandmother,
yes,
you talk about your auntie and your mother and sisters and brothers, and I mean, they don't have the same family makeup anymore. Everybody is out there doing their thing or working or not having that kind of family unity the same way.
Right.
We experienced it in the South. Of course, I experienced it in Denver as well. Mm-hmm. We had our grandparents around us, so my grandmother would cook all the time. So even being around how she cooked and what she cooked, and that was our time together. You know, we got to be together. I mean, some of us would be setting the table. Some would be helping to make whatever, a pound cake or whatever it is she's going to do,
right.
You know. Mm-hmm. And but then there were others that were sitting around having coffee, talking about what they were doing. And so you were engaged in a unit. You felt like you were part of something.
Right.
And I think that when we are fast foods, okay, fast traffic,
yes,
everything is like technology, you want your I'm trying to get something on my cell phone quickly. I want it now. I think it's that technology that is, and definitely all of the social media that they're connected to. They're more interested in what's happening outside of their lives than what's happening in their life.
Yes.
And I think, I say to my grandchildren, I go, I don't want you to be so interested in whatever that is and not the time that we're going to have together.
Right.
And they go, Grandma, I go, no, I want you to put those things down.
Yeah.
And yet they get them quick information. But it doesn't allow them to be socialized. And that's what Catherine Dunham loves. She said, the arts are the key to socialization.
Sure is.
Mm-hmm.
I agree to that.
Uh-huh.
I'd agree to that. You know, I really appreciated what you did during the workshop. And I wasn't there for the second one. I had a previous, an engagement, something else to do. But I got the footage, and I love the way you started with your dad. And I always tell dancers, just be prepared sometimes. Because there are many times to get the point across, we have to start somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And it could be within our own family.
Yeah.
You know, it could be our experiences, could be whatever.
Yeah.
But I like the way you started it, and you started talking with your father, and it's just developed and developed and developed. And I saw the teachers. I was looking at the footage, and I saw all the teachers, and I got, you know, one thing I do is I look at expressions, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I think they were enjoying it. And I think I tell people, if you are in a dance class and the teacher is just teaching you all the time and not speaking to you, I think you need to leave that class,
mm-hmm,
right? Because I think the teachers need to sometimes apply real-life situation
absolutely
to what it is that you,
yeah,
right?
Because it's real for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so what you did was presented, mm-hmm, right? And I said, you must be prepared for that. And then you will find later on that what that person was saying to you, it actually, yeah, connects to something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it actually, you know, connect. Like when you started the first class, and I picked up the drum.
Uh-huh, I love that.
Right?
You played those drums.
Yeah.
I said, I need a drummer, but I have some other music. And all of a sudden, you were playing the drums, and I was like, wow.
Well, I'm a junkin' drummer, so yeah.
But fantastic.
But just the way it just all happened, and I felt, I didn't know, but it seemed to me like the whole process happened organically,
yeah,
based on your feeling and the way you looked at the kids and the expression on their face and your how you communicated first with
mm-hmm.
them. And I felt that, and then you started, mm-hmm. and the hands going up and coming down.
Yes,
and
they all got involved. Then we're in the exercise.
Right.
I had to get them away from the mirror,
yeah,
and whatever they think dance should be.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times, like I told them, you imitate a lot,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't make you authentic. It makes you sharp. You can see. Dance is visual. But if you can get away from what you think it looks like and you can get to what it feels like and what it feels like with someone else, because it's that synergy, that vibration that happens with another human being
mm-hmm.
that is so rich. You know, it's soulful. It's about your soul.
Yeah.
And if you're only exercising your body and you leave out the soul, you leave it out, you don't get all of the good flavor.
But you have to feed the soul, right?
Oh, yeah.
You have to feed it. And so you feed it with your experience, the words.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So I think that is so important. But I always tell dancers that. I said, listen, if a teacher's not talking to you, right, I don't think they're educating you well.
Yeah.
There's something missing. You can do all the mm-hmm. dancing, get all the technique, but you must understand mm-hmm. there's some things you must understand. The late Rex Nettleford told me many mm. years ago, he said that, you know, as a choreographer, you should read a lot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He said, you should read a lot. Read everything.
Yes.
Read
yes.
everything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It helps the process.
Oh, absolutely.
And so that's the process for me as a choreographer. Mm. But the process for them as students
yes.
is that they, hopefully the teacher is able to impress upon mm. them their experiences and
yes.
information, that sort of thing, you
yeah.
know, to help them
yeah. Yeah.
to grow.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I can tell you I could show you how to perform an attitude,
yeah.
but unless I've experienced it myself,
yeah.
I cannot really, really tell
yeah.
you how
yeah.
it feels. And Mr. Yeah. Mitchell used to say that. He said, you cannot teach a child how to do an attitude if you haven't done it yourself.
Yeah, no, you better do. Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
So not only the
yes,
the speaking
it's
part
of it. It's a visceral thing,
yes,
too.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. It's such a complex. It's really, well, simple. It looks simple.
Yeah.
But it's rather complex.
Yeah.
I think it's complex intellectualism because you are really, my husband, who was such a great founder of my company in Denver with me, and he was an athlete.
Tom, yes.
But Tom was just amazing.
Yeah.
He watched dancers all the time, but he was a math man. And he said, dance is math. And I'm like, no, it's not. And we would have these kind of mm-hmm. wonderful conversations,
sure
right?
Is.
And he go, no, you're spatially like working like geometry. You know, it's like architecture. You're spacing where dancers are going because mm-hmm. you're creating formations.
Yeah.
And then you're counting, like you were talking about. I would love for you to play this rhythm you were telling me about, the 16. Yeah, right? Could you play like that?
Because
that one, I want to hear it again.
Oh, yeah?
I want to hear it because...
I wonder if I can play that. I mean,
I
can hum it.
Like...
Yeah, I can hum it, but I can...
Oh, okay, wait. Was it the 16? Was it that one where you said sometimes you have a piece that was in, like last night we were watching your work on tape. You were talking about the one that came in Measures... Of 16, I thought.
Yes. I was creating a ballet called Reaching Back.
Yeah.
And I went into the studio, a local Bahamian, his name is Neil Simonet, and I was just playing this rhythm, and this is the rhythm I wanted. And he made sure that every musician he knew uh-huh. actually heard the rhythm, so he was calling him on the phone. Listen to this guy's playing this rhythm, and it's 16, you know?
Yeah.
And I could probably hum it better than I could play it, but it was like, ticky tick, 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 ticky tick,
ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick,
ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky
tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick, ticky tick,
Right. So yeah.
Oh, that one. Thank you. That's the one I want to hear again.
You put me on the spot there.
Yeah.
But I've been doing that all week, right?
Yeah. Exactly. I know.
Putting you on the spot, pulling you out.
I love it. No, I don't think I've taught a ton of class. You know, with the diversity, having teachers that I knew were their mentors.
Yes.
As well as, I mean, like Keisha, you know, having her in there, and Vicky and so on, and remembering them, like, vaguely 33 years ago, and then going, they jumped in here to support me so beautifully, and then to support them. That's wonderful. That was really special.
But you know, one of the things that I had hoped for with this visit, too, is when you were here 33 years ago, you did something that was very powerful. And what that was that you were able to bring, your presence here was able to bring all the teachers together. And you were, and so we were all sitting and we were listening and we were learning and we were just catching, like we use, the word we use in the Bahamas is gap seed. That means that you're sitting there getting information, you're listening, you're catching a gap seed, right?
I love that term,
right?
Gap seed.
Gap seed, yeah. And that means you just, and sometimes you're just being nosy. Yes, basically, right? You're being nosy.
Yes.
But what you did was you were able to pull together. Your presence here brought all the dance teachers together. And even though we had differences and whatever it was, you brought it together, and that was not visible for the time that we spent with you. And then I remember using the term, you said, everybody have to buy into this idea.
Yeah.
Right? You were directing us, and you were saying to us, too, that we have to build this, and we have to be committed to it, to getting it done. And I guess possibly realizing some of the dissensions and stuff like that that possibly existed, you made us all come to the center of the floor, and you put your hand at the bottom, and you start stacking.
We all put all of our hands on top of one another.
And stacking.
That's right. And that's how we were building.
And we were building.
Yes.
And then you said, okay, everybody just feel.
Yeah.
Feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
That left a mark on me. I thought it was just...
I can feel that now, what we did. Yeah, no.
That was so powerful.
Isn't that deep?
Yeah. That was deep. You know, and...
Thank you. Well, yeah, I can feel that happen because, I knew that it's a big idea to sort of surrender a little bit of yourself to make something...
Want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good, something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. 'Tis the season for giving back, and giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Even greater. That you don't know quite what it is yet.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We are working in that, a little bit of that place of faith and hope and void, but possibility.
Yeah.
The possibility. And you stayed committed. That's why I think, you know, I wanted to get here. I was like, okay, if you're talking about retiring, I don't want to hear that word. I don't want to hear it. You're not, no. I'm going to get there before you think you are going anywhere. So I was so glad to get here, really.
Yeah, I am just so happy that you are here. Really, I am. And the last couple of days have been just magical. It's been amazing, you know. And but I'm quite sure that... Like, I always ask the question once I've spoken sometime, you know, I say to them, did you understand anything that I say? And they go, yes. I said, is there one thing or two things or three things that you could, right? Yeah. And they go, yeah. And sometimes I put them on the spot. I say, tell me what they are.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a wonderful thing. That's a great teacher.
Yeah. And so I say to that, and so I'm saying that to say that the same impact that you've had on us, or had on me, 33 years, I hope that they experience that same thing. I'm quite sure there's something in the words that you say, in the movement that you made, and what you taught them, what you left with them, the seed that you planted with them, will grow into something really humongous.
Wow. Thank you. I hope so. I felt an extraordinary connection just in the few days I was here, from the continuity, from the arriving, knowing that you had shared what we had done. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to start from scratch.
Right.
I didn't have to start by inventing myself here. You had already planted that seed.
Yeah.
Many people don't do that. I mean, they just don't. They don't know how important that is, because you have a platform to jump off from. But if you have no foundation or platform, you don't know where to start.
Right.
And I had that. You had done that.
Yeah.
And I'm most grateful, you know, because some of the dancers said, I'm so nervous. I heard a couple of them, right? I'm so nervous. I said, why? I said, because I don't want to disappoint Mr. Bain. And I was so looking forward to meeting you. And I'm thinking, wow, both of those things touch my heart. I think that's very important. Because they have a lot of love and respect for you. And I could see it, not just in the words, but in the work.
Yeah.
And then the way they work together, I think dance is a pretty demanding lifestyle.
It is.
It's very demanding. Yeah. And it takes everything you've got, everything. Mm-hmm. You have to have your mind, body, spirit, emotion. You're calling on the ancestors. Your feet are not working that day. The knees are not working. And you're just asking for a whole lot of support to come on in so you can be present.
Yeah.
And they were so present.
Yeah.
There was not a time that they weren't in the room and not present. And what I loved is that they were open, because sometimes when you did the performance and you know how great it was, you come back not humble. You'd be like, oh, I did it. You know, I was bad. And that's good, that self-affirmation.
Yeah.
But they were so open to the dancers that were not there, and they were encouraging, and you could feel that supportive place, and not a sense of pettiness, you know, that can happen with people in any field. It happens in the dance as well.
Oh, yeah.
Where the young people feel very cliquish.
Yeah.
Where that clique is over there, and that's why last night I said, and where are you from? And what school are you from, and whatever. Because I wanted them to hear the different schools that were represented and the different experiences. And some had never had any dance at all.
Yeah.
And they didn't try to show off. They were absolutely humble.
Yeah.
And that takes a great teacher, and you've done so amazing. And not everyone can do that. There are a lot of teachers. I've run a school for 55 years.
Yeah.
So a lot of times they come in and they teach a class, but they're not teaching the dancers. They're not teaching who's before them. And you teach the individuals.
Yeah.
And you take them, like I think Keisha said, that there was a time where there were those throwback kids that nobody wanted to teach, and she said, I was one of them. I said, oh, you were the star of one of those kids. And she said, yes. And I've been with Mr. Bain since I was eight.
Nine
or something like that.
Yes,
and
nine.
I thought, people don't understand the power of that kind of dedication.
Yeah.
But I've experienced that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why a lot of times you think, well, it's going to take long for that child to come together. They have a lot. But when you see that they're hungry and they're ready to work and they have the respect, then you give them everything you've got.
Yeah.
And that's what you've done. I think they recognize that. They really do.
Well, we do have some really deep moments. Yeah. And we normally talk about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about a lot of things. And then sometimes it's so good to hear them talk. Mm-hmm. To get their impression on what they think of stuff. We talked about, well, Mr. Mitchell had this thing at the end of an exercise, mm-hmm. you know, give, take, show, you know,
yeah,
you know. And so I'm like, I taught them what it meant. Well, yes. there now, nowadays, there's an explanation for it,
yeah.
you know, and so we talk about that. Then we talk about steps be sure, intentions mm-hmm, be true, you know, mm-hmm. explain what that means,
yes.
you know, and, you know.
Steps be sure, intentions. Wait, say that again.
Steps be sure.
And intentions,
Intentions be true. Yeah.
Yes.
Meaning
yes.
that the steps. Make sure the steps that you know.
You know
it. And whatever
yeah.
the explanation or whatever the choreographer demands of you and he
yes.
wants to see.
Yeah, exactly.
You give it to him.
Oh, make, absolutely.
That's right. Get the steps, give him the expression uh-huh. that he wants. You know?
Okay, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What choreographers had the greatest impact on you?
The greatest impact on me? Many.
Because you've done many, 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 many works with many different choreographers.
You know something, I think the one that inspired me the most, I think there's probably two.
Uh-huh.
I always liked Mr. Balanchine.
Yes.
And I always liked Mr. Ailey.
Yes, okay.
I always liked Mr. Ailey.
Yes.
And they have had impact on me, even Mr. Mitchell. Some of his work, like Hallberg and Ritmatron and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, stuff like that. I think it's been Mr. Balanchine and Ailey.
Yes.
I was really inspired by him.
I
was just inspired by his tenacity, his just mm-hmm. everything about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
willing to do what others,
was
afraid to do.
Yes, exactly.
You know,
and the sacrifices he made. Yeah,
and he, you know, and then in terms of how I, out of the choreographic realm, I guess approach dance sometimes is based. Mm-hmm. I think I was influenced a lot by Mr. Mitchell.
Mm-hmm. I would say so. That's yeah. what I feel. Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Arthur Mitchell, of course, in Harlem.
Yes.
And we talked about Harlem yesterday. I
yeah.
said, "Where's Harlem?" Some had no idea.
Yeah.
I said, and the others said, "New York, New York."
Uh-huh.
I said, "Well, I feel like Denver is the Harlem of the West. That's
yes.
why I was so connected to him."
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. But I and then I have a friend of mine, Patsy Ricketts, who, mm-hmm. if you ever look at the there's the old, very old picture of dance theater, with this lady in front, right in the middle of the triangle.
Mm-hmm.
That's Patsy Ricketts. She,
oh,
yeah, she lives
yeah.
in. She's from Jamaica.
Oh,
and so for a couple of years, she mm-hmm. would come and visit me and work here at,
yeah.
At Dance Bahamas, and she has choreographed a piece with the company,
oh,
which we're gonna restage soon. And she always comes in here, and she would say stuff like, "You know something, Robert, you remind me so much of Arthur." And I go like, "Really?" Well, first of all, the thing is, Mr. Mitchell discovered that I was in Aries. I was born in April.
So, uh-huh. Oh, boy.
So, you know, one of the things he would ask you
yeah.
sometimes, what is your sign, you know?
Ooh, yeah, yeah,
I was in Aries. I think that happened when I went, I needed to come home for something. My grandmother had passed, my father's mother. And I had to go to his office to get him to sign. So I took this lady named is Phyllis Butcher. Phyllis Butcher, who was there. She was might have been a secretary or something. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Her name sounds familiar.
Yeah, Phyllis Butcher.
You know,
yeah,
yes.
yeah. And there was back in the days. It was Miss Butcher. It was Lorenzo James. Mr. G. Mr. Gonzalez.
Yeah.
It was a bunch, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I had to go and get in his office. And I walked in his office and I saw the Aries sign on his desk. So, so I discovered, yeah. But she always said that you remind
yeah.
me. And I said that there were qualities of him mm-hmm. and that I needed.
Yeah.
And I think people might have find it a bit harsh at times.
Mm-hmm.
But I, You know, like I told you today, there are some aspects of what he did I appreciated.
Mm-hmm. And oh, me too.
It made me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and that thing about yeah. what if he did it in Harlem, you can do it anywhere in the mm-hmm. world.
You said.
I find that. I find
well,
that.
Maybe not everywhere.
Yeah,
but
they don't
they
know.
They don't know the Bahamas.
He don't know, but yeah, he does. But there are aspects of it that was.
Yes,
that was,
exactly.
That was applicable, you know. But the other question, Cleo, what do you find are the similarities and differences of the kids growing up today?
Yeah.
The kids in dance?
Well, I think they have access to so much more.
Yeah.
I mean, they really do. And they might be more versatile, you know, where
yeah.
they, see, I think when we grew up, we studied either ballet or we didn't study everything.
Right.
Not everybody had, you know, it was pretty segmented. If you're a ballet dancer, you weren't taking African classes or you weren't taking jazz. But these dancers, I mean, they will go from one kind of technique to another,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think that that's a wonderful thing. Because
yeah.
when you talk about being a triple threat, you know, to be able to do different kinds of technique, and sing and dance and go into musicals or shows like
mm-hmm.
you did.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't think, I think COVID really affected a lot.
Yeah.
I really think so.
Mm-hmm.
More than we want to even recognize.
Yeah.
It made people very, very isolated and fearful of one another.
Yeah.
And I think it took us a minute to come back to trusting each other and touching each other. And caring deeply for each other, and knowing that that really is a part of the human part of excellence,
mm-hmm.
as being able to, like Ms. Dunham would talk about, what kind of civilization do we want to create? And I think they don't think that big sometimes, unless the teacher is bringing that to them. And so I think, we don't have teachers that are doing that enough. I saw the teachers that were here the other night, and I was so excited that they were so open to what I was saying.
Right.
And I saw them doing their heads, yes,
mm-hmm.
like, so we were in this really great affirmation, like, yes, we need to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one said, you know, I say some of these things, but I don't think they're hearing me. I think they heard you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We say that a lot, right? Where
yeah.
you go, it
yeah.
takes another voice to say the same
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
And you go, but I've been saying that. I would bring in Donald McHale. And, you know, I think they're also, I mean, when we worked with Mr. McHale, who worked with Alvin Ailey and with Arthur Mitchell, and Mr. McHale had both Mr. Ailey and Mr. Mitchell in his company.
Right.
And I worked, you know, I worked for years with Mr. McHale. And right now, we have 13 of his works,
okay.
which is we have more works than any company in the world. But what I learned by working with Mr. McHale is that you can't be so worried about time. Time for these young people is like boom, boom, boom. Except for last night when I went on and I kept going, I better stop because
mm-hmm.
they've got to go on to classes or they've got to get ready for school. And they never left.
Right.
And then I would end the class again and then they didn't leave. And I went, oh, well, then they aren't like kids that I think, you know, like the bell rings and they're gone,
mm-hmm.
you know. And
yeah.
you think, oh, well, I wasn't totally completely giving them what I think I wanted to give them. But
yeah.
So I think some of them are so conditioned to, this is about the timing, this is all I have, and I've got to do something else. And so their attention span is a little shorter
right.
than, let's say, the class you saw in Denver with Miss Dunham. We'd take a class with her, and it would be 3 hours. She would speak slightly at the beginning. She would work us like we were in the Olympics. And then she would sit and tell a very long story about, and we would think that the night was over. And all of a sudden she said, now get up. I would like to see Grand Versailles. And you go, you've got to be kidding. You know what I
yes,
mean?
Yes,
yeah, yeah,
I
you
saw,
remember that?
I saw that. I saw that. Yeah. I was, and I remember the dancers coming across the floor doing this beautiful move.
Oh, the spiral. Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Contractions.
And she was explaining, yeah. And they were bursting in sweat, and they're working. And then just right in the middle of it, something probably just popped in our head. She goes like, can you guys come and she started talking. I was like, oh, heck. And then she was talking, and she was talking about the outhouse and something else
Some of her pieces and the Haiti and all of that. Because she was a cultural anthropologist.
Right, yes.
So I think those two things would happen for her. Like, she was the extraordinary dancer, you know, beyond, I mean, you know, with Balanchine for years, choreographing on Broadway and choreographing the Aida with the opera and so on. But then she had a whole life working in the field as a cultural anthropologist. Our first cultural anthropologist that would use dance as a way of studying people. And so that it would just go into that other place. And the dancer would be like, oh, what? And then they thought she was done. But then she'd go back to finishing class with the drums or something. And I thought, I had no idea. I talked to her assistant. I said, now, the dancers are not used. Once they stop, their bodies are, you know what I mean? Their bodies are no longer warm. They are now cold.
It dies.
And what are we going to do here, right? Yeah. But because she was teaching up through her 90s.
Yes.
You know, and it was really extraordinary. But we had to remind her, Miss Dunham, when you finish a class, we can't just get up and start dancing after you share an hour of this extraordinary journey of a work like Lagia or as she worked in Brazil with Choros, or when I danced Berghaus Blues, I had all of the women audition for her, and I wasn't auditioning. I just set it all up so that she could see my dancers do what she was working on, Berghaus Blues, and talking about being cold in Chicago, and, you know, an older woman going into one of these dives. And I then began to start moving. And afterwards, I said, you know, Miss Dunham, I'd love to try. And she says, no, sister. She said, you haven't been through anything. And I looked at her eyes like this. Oh, you have no idea. You have no idea what I've been through. And I think because we put such a mask on, we mask all the time, that people cannot see the humanitarian part, the humanness. And I said, no, I've been through a whole lot in life. Let me show you I can get to this. I can get to this character. And then I had to even hear from Benoit how he would dance with her all over the world doing that part. And he said, let me tell you, Cleo, this is how you have to do it. You have to get down, and you have to chew gum, and you have to cuss that other sister out. And I'm like, oh, good. That part of me, I have been suppressing. Let me get to that part, because I can do that part right there, right?
Wow.
Yeah. So it's been really... But I think that young people, if you just stop long enough and give them what you think is rich, and that's what you do. And that's what I see many of the teachers here. That's why I want your teachers and yourself to be in Denver to also inspire some of our dancers who are just extraordinary technicians. But they come from their universities, and most of them are just teaching combinations. Right. And I told them last night, I said, what's important about dance is form and function. And so if you just stay with the form and you don't know what the function is, then you're only giving me half of what I'm seeing.
Absolutely.
But if the teachers, the choreographers, don't tell them what the function of that work is, what is the intention? Mm-hmm. You know, what is the true intention of that work? From the music to the rhythms to the way we're relating to each other, then they don't have it. They can't make it up.
Yeah. I like to challenge my dancers sometimes. Sometimes we do this... awesome sequences of choreography, and I would say to them, I mean, I will give them my expression and give them the information that I think they need to deliver this, this work. But sometimes I give them license, and I said, but what I would like for you to do most of all is show me the possibilities of that step. I say, because sometimes you can do that step better than I tell you. Sometimes you can inspire me by doing a particular step, you know?
Absolutely.
And I've watched over the years a lot of dancers who would actually, I would start a piece of choreography, and I end up setting that choreography based on that one dancer.
Oh,
because
absolutely.
Because they capture
something to you.
Yeah, they brought it. They showed me the possibility of that particular step or that particular sequences.
Yeah.
And it's I like it to be as organic as possible. Okay. And so I work with them. I try to help them to think. We have a thing in my sessions where I have taught them that I am the center of this. We are choreographing, so I am the center, and you are to be tuned into the center for now. Mm-hmm. All right. And sometimes what happens is that I call this thing first spark.
Ah. Mm-hmm. First spark.
Mm-hmm. And what first spark is that sometimes in the process of choreographing, I could come up with these wonderful, I don't know if you have ever experienced this, you have this wonderful idea and this wonderful idea of movements and all this stuff. And then 2 minutes, 2 seconds later, you can't remember it.
Of course.
Okay.
It happens.
And so.
No. I tell you, it does like that. It's that kind of elusive.
Yes.
It really is. I mean, you know what it is, and then all of a sudden you go, well, this is why when I teach and I don't have anybody demonstrating for me, I'm like, dancers, what the heck did I just do?
Well,
I go, because I'm going to do it one time, and you better catch it on the spark, on that first time, right? You better get it.
The minute that match clicked like that, you catch it.
Yeah, right.
And so I've taught them how to do that.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
They can only do that if they're tuned into the...
Oh, absolutely.
To the nucleus.
I love that, yeah.
They can only do it if
they're
tuned in.
Well, you've established so many things that I think dancers... That's why I think your book is so wonderful. I got to see your book.
Thank you.
I want everybody to get it. I told all the dancers they should have it. They have to have the Bahamian history.
Yeah.
First of all, they need to know who you are when they study with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I want to get my book out. You inspired me to...
Please.
Go beyond talking about my book.
Get it started.
But I was inspired by Arthur Mitchell, and I was inspired by Alvin Ailey and Catherine Dunham. And when I went there at 19, that's why I started my company at 21.
Yeah.
Because I saw just what you're speaking about in terms of students. When I sat in Harlem and I went, and Tom and I went, you know, Tom was playing basketball at, getting ready to play professionally. And then he played football. But when he got there to play, he knew I wanted to get to Harlem. And we walked into Harlem, and he was holding my hand so tight, like, oh, my God, we're in Harlem. Because you hear all of these things, right? And I'm going, why is he holding my hand so tight? You know, like, if this man is nervous, I know I need to be nervous. But that was the stereotype.
Yes.
You know, you're in a neighborhood. We're from Denver. You know, we don't know anybody.
Yeah.
So we go in, and we walk into this church, and Mr. Mitchell is teaching, and the children are sitting around the floor, and they are silent. They are absolutely, you couldn't hear a pin drop. And there was Carmen de Lavala taking the class, Mary Hingston, who was a dancer with Martha Graham. Mm-hmm. There were these... He was giving them corrections, and the children were seeing that. And I think when children see that the discipline is not just for children, but is all throughout your life,
mm-hmm.
and it's with that kind of clarity and discipline and love, I was like, it was a sacred space for me.
Yeah.
I said, I love this sacred space.
Yeah.
I want to create that. Yeah, that space. And that's what I did when I came back to Denver. I said, that I want to create something like that. But then when I saw Alvin Ailey, and I saw the way the men moved, I was like this, oh, yeah, that's they mm-hmm, there's some strength up in there.
Yeah.
So it was the power of expression that I loved. And it was our stories. It was our stories.
Yeah.
And even though I could see lots of ballet, I mean, because my teacher, Rita Berger, was a dancer with George Balanchine.
Okay.
So I came from Balanchine, but she loved the fact that I was so far from that. I wanted to express myself in my own way as a choreographer because I had seen my father on stage do, you know, raising in the sun, like Sidney Poitier and my mother played music, and all four of us grew up with music and dance and expressing ourselves in our own way.
Yes.
So by the time I was, you know, I'd done musicals and so on when I was young, but to choreograph and say what I wanted to say in my own way was, but growing up in Dallas because of Alvin Ailey, being in Texas, knowing that the South, that the spiritual have a great impact on our spirituality and the way we express our souls.
Yes.
My first piece was to my father's house. And what's wild is that my new building, which we are going to have, which you will be there to see.
I am looking forward.
You will see this. This is a work of love by so many people in our community that work so hard. But on the outside is a lab notation of my spiritual suite, my piece, Mary, Don't You Weep, that I did.
That is awesome.
Yeah, that I did for Martin Luther King's first birthday, and we celebrated it in Atlanta. And so the world saw this first celebration, and I did Mary, Don't You Weep. So this is now lab notation. The people from New York came in and created a whole side of my building in the lab notation of Mary, Don't You Weep.
That's awesome.
And it's a tribute to Dr. King. So I think for me, Arthur King, Mr. Mitchell King from Brazil, when Martin Luther King was murdered. And Alvin was always inspired by his work. And I think our work is integrated into history. That's why I think when you talk about Rex Nettleford, who I had met in about 1976 in Jamaica, I knew that he expected a world-class company to come from Jamaica to represent that. But he also knew they had to be very, very smart, intellectual. They had to know about their culture. And I think that's what you've done here.
Well, it's still a work in progress, I can tell you that much. It is a work in progress, and to get the support of everybody.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the reasons too, the People's Performance was done to, it's a bit of exposure to as many persons that would show up, so hopefully we're building that audience and that sort of thing. And there's so much about this country that is amazing, and I would like to really tap into it as best I can and leave it for the next generation. Mm-hmm. We have a system here at Dance Bahamas. We call it emergence, and emergence is based on my experience. It's based on my experience as a dancer and the styles that I've come across in my lifetime. And it's been years and years and years. So not only writing a book, but trying to create a style, trying to kind of codify a style. Mm-hmm.
Very important.
Yeah. So, and I think you just got a little bit of that when they were doing it for the radio, for the TV.
Yes.
Yeah, just a bit of it. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah. But we need to do that. And my thing is to encourage other Bahamians to do the same. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's been for me. But anyhow, well, this has been like amazing, Cleo. And I know we can do this forever
ever. So. My goodness. Yes. Every time I'm with you, with my sister, I go, Susie, I want a tape. Because whatever you're saying, I want to capture it right now.
Yes.
So I was glad we did the podcast because I want to share that with, not only my community in Denver, but we travel all around the world.
Yes.
And I want them to know this is an extraordinary thing that's going on here in the Bahamas.
Yes.
And what you've done, and to be a part of creating the National Dance Company of the Bahamas, and to know that I was a part of that early days, and to be able to come back and salute you.
This is special, babes.
Salute you
this
and
is
say
special.
Congratulations.
This
and
is
don't stop. We need you, and we need the community to support you in every kind of way, from buying tickets to supporting the dancers in their classes, to coming to the theater, to building the theater.
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
To coming and seeing us tour together, whatever all of those wonderful dreams are that are still there. And I think they're with the young people, and they're going to have the energy to continue it.
Well, This has been amazing. This has been awesome. We need to do this again. Whether we're doing this from Denver, you in Denver, and I'm here in the Bahamas, is all possible. Technology is such now that we can actually do that. This is another question. How was your experience here in Nassau after 33 years?
Listen, I mean,
we taught you a few words.
I wanted to sit and write about it today.
Yeah.
You know, this morning I wanted to just get up and write. And I'm waiting for just some space to really capture all of it. But it was really extraordinary, and I'm so grateful. And I just loved it. I said, Robert Bain, I love you. I said, I love the dancers. I love being here. I love the fact that my sister was able to experience it with me. This was, it was just such a gift, a gift from the universe.
Yes.
And I thanked, the Bahamian government. Really, I know we didn't have a chance to get there this time, to be able to say thank you for starting, for helping to start that, and the U.S. Embassy. Very important that they stay involved, but we need individuals. We shouldn't depend upon our government to do everything.
Yes.
It's the individuals that know the value of all of it.
Absolutely.
And we do junk anew in our holiday concert I've been doing for 33 years now.
Yes.
And I just thank all of the junk anews here. Yeah. I had a chance to go to the museum and get a real sense of Jackson's beautiful artistry.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh, it just touched my heart.
Yeah.
So this is just another new beginning.
There you go.
I'm thrilled. Thank you, Robert Bain.
Well, this has been another podcast, and we're here talking with American royalty and dance. Cleo Parker Robinson, my friend, my sister, and her sister's ducking us. Leslie Sue is ducking us today. She doesn't want to be a part of our podcast, but I appreciate her being here also and meeting her and spending time together. So, like I always say, come to the Bahamas. We are a beautiful country with beautiful people, and we are always here to welcome you and to see that you have a great, great time. So until my next podcast, this is Robert Bain. And Cleo, you want to say anything before we go?
I just want to say my son, who came with my husband that many years ago, his birthday is in a few days. And one of the presents will be to share this experience.
Super.
Because he will be back. Malik will be back here. After he helps get the building up, this is the first place he wants to be. So
super.
We will get all of our staff. Of course, they're jealous. Mary and Red and the rest of them are like, we're next. So we will be expanding our families between the countries. It'll be a wonderful thing.
That's
thank
awesome.
You.
Well, thank you very much, Cleo. And you've been listening to another podcast from Nassau, Bahamas.
You're listening to the podcast, Tea and Talk.